Good morning. It is Thursday, August 12th, 2021. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. Hey, if you're new to this podcast, the reason it's called the Bipolar Bear Podcast is because I'm bipolar and I'm a bear. I mean, it's really that straightforward. No, I'm not really a bear. I'm an honorary bear. I think I'm kind of like a bi bear. I'm not sure. Anyway. Bipolar Bear. I just thought it was funny one day. So I changed the name of the podcast because I thought that was an appropriate title to use. What do you think? Think it's ridiculous? I don't know. I have a few followers here that seem to listen, like four or five anyway. And I appreciate that so much. I say that all the time, but hey, I do appreciate your follow, your listen, your support, your whatever. So hopefully you're getting something out of this. I know I am. And I'll also precurse this with saying that I do these for me because I go back and listen to this stuff all the time. It helps me kind of digest all the crap that's going around in my head that makes no sense while it's in my head and does make sense when it's out in the ether like this and I can go back and listen to it. So it's pretty much self-help is what I'm doing here, literally. So I'm helping myself. I hope that it helps you, but I don't know. I'm pretty specific and unique. So I'm feeling a little bit better today. Thanks for asking if you did. I'm not sure if I just had like, I don't know, stomach thing or something, but I got to tell you what, I had an absolute brain burner of a headache yesterday. And we ran out of coffee creamer. I like a little cream in my coffee. So I didn't have a coffee yesterday morning. I had just an herbal tea. So that has no caffeine in it. And I didn't realize, you know, I don't really think that I drink that much coffee. And I really don't. Like when I use, we have a Keurig machine here and that's most, you know, like 9 times out of 10, that's what we're getting. Sometimes somebody will run out and get Tim Hortons or something like that. But I never get anything larger than a medium. But a medium is actually like 2.5 cups of coffee. Just, you know, in case you weren't aware, that is not an 8 ounce portion of coffee. It's a lot more. It's more like 20 ounces, something like that. It's definitely not a single cup, but I don't drink those too often. And I never get like those jumbos or anything massive like that. So I think I'm actually addicted to caffeine. And that's weird. I don't know why I would think that's weird, but I didn't realize that there would be such an implication for me because basically every morning I get up and have a cup of coffee, even though I take like 3 hours to drink the thing. So I'll have a cup of coffee sitting next to me and it's a regular sized mug and it's about 2/3 of the way filled. I use the medium setting on the Keurig, whatever that middle setting is. It looks like it's about a cup, right? So 8 ounces of coffee. But holy crap, I had the most wicked headache yesterday. And I'm like, what the hell? Like 2 days ago, I felt sick to my stomach. I was kind of nauseous and queasy for like, I don't know, 8 hours, most of the day. And that seems unrelated, but just saying. And then yesterday I'm totally feeling like, wow, I have this pounding. I mean, this was not like a sort of a headache. This was like a freaking pounding migraine of a headache that I've got. Hey, real quick tangent. You guys, you know, does anyone else have a problem with sticky hands? I just touched something on my shirt and it must've been, I don't know, jelly or something. I don't know what it is. All I'm having is a piece of toast with jelly for breakfast. And now I have this sticky crap on my hands and it just drives me absolutely insane. I don't know if you guys have that same problem. Give me 1 second. I gotta go wash my hands. Okay, back. That didn't take very long, but wow. Yeah. I'm kind of mental like that. I don't like sticky hands at all. Ugh, I don't like anything, dirt, nothing. I can't have long fingernails. I actually tried that once. I had like fake nails once for Halloween. And oh God, I don't know how women do that. It just feels awful. I could feel like every single thing under the nail. Ugh, I did not like it at all. So I have kind of a weird quirk there, I guess. I don't like sticky hands and a dirty mouth and stuff. I don't know. Complete fuck off. Ugh, whatever. Anyway, what was I saying here? Oh, right. Addicted to caffeine. Is that even a thing? I didn't realize that. Maybe I'm an idiot. to think that that wasn't a thing, but apparently it's a thing, and it's a thing that affects it. Look, I don't know, but here's my test case. So yesterday about 3 o'clock, I'm like, wow, I just, what is going on? Why do I have such a pounding headache? And I was talking to my son, and he was like, do you have any coffee this morning? And I'm like, no, I didn't. And he's like, you're probably having caffeine withdrawal. I'm like, what? Like caffeine withdrawal? And he's like, yeah. So I said, okay, let's test that theory. Let me go grab a coffee. So I went to Tim Hortons, which is right up the street, because we don't have any freaking creamer, and I like creamer. Like, I don't like to drink the artificial creamer, which is completely ridiculous. We don't have any creamer at all, right? We just have like a caramel flavored one, but it's too sweet for me because I don't drink a lot of sugar or any sugar, and I try not to eat that much sugar. So anything like that is just like super sweet to my mouth, to my palate. So I don't like that either. It's too sweet, but I like my coffee a little less bitter, right? So I like to cream it out anyway. I like to drink organic milks and stuff like that. So we just happen to, can't get it everywhere around here. I don't live in a booming metropolis that has everything everywhere. So I haven't gone to the right store to get it, and we're out. So I went to Tim Hortons. I guess you could have argued I could have gone to the store, but I just went to Tim Hortons and grabbed a coffee. And within about 25 minutes of drinking like 5 sips of that stuff, I felt, now I don't know if it's psychological or if it was, you know, just all in my head, literally and figuratively, but I felt way better. And I don't have a headache this morning. So apparently I have a dependency on caffeine. Yay me. So, you know, it's like so wonderful to wake up each and every morning and find out that you're more fucked up than you thought you were the day before. That's awesome. So I don't know if I can do anything about that. I guess I could wean off on it more gradually, but holy shit, just stopping it. It was, I'm telling you, this was like a debilitating headache. It was really bad. It wasn't something mild. It wasn't like, oh, I got a mild headache. That's not, this was like, I'm having trouble working. I can't concentrate. This is just, it's like my head felt like it was going to explode. It was awful. All from coffee and caffeine. How do you like that? And I'm supposed to be drinking coffee, right? From the hepatic specialist, that all of them that I've seen have told me that black coffee is awesome for your liver. You should drink 3 cups a day. And I don't ever make it to, well, very infrequently do I make it to 3 cups a day. Unless I have like some of the cold brew that I make, then I can usually drink a little bit more. That's probably a bigger gulp of coffee, but typically I don't have. So it's hilarious because caffeine is bad for palpitations. I have palpitations. Caffeine is good for your liver. So it's like, I don't know. I can't, you know, what am I supposed to do? On one hand, it's good. On the other hand, it's bad. I don't know that it's ever caused me palpitations. I don't think I drink so much that I get, I don't know. I'm shocked that little amount would cause that big of a problem. That still is kind of like a conundrum to me. Word of the day, conundrum. Man, I'm doing really good at getting that word in almost every podcast. I have a lot of conundrums, man. Anyway, I'm just kind of slowly sipping away at a black cup of coffee this morning. And it's not bad. It's just, you know, a little bitter. It's kind of like a Guinness, you know. Guinness is really good. Guinness beer is really amazing. If you can drink the whole thing right when it's still frothing, like when you see the bubbles coming up, you know, from the CO2 that carbonates that beer on the fly like that in the can. Holy cow. If you can guzzle that thing down, it's like drinking a chocolate milkshake. It's just so smooth and amazing. But if you let it sit, it gets really bitter because it's a stout. Style of beer, and they're super bitter. But yeah, I really love Guinness. I have not had a Guinness in a while. I haven't really had anything but a couple sips of wine in like years. I don't drink alcohol at all, really. So I'm kind of a fuddy-duddy like that. Did I mention that I took some CBD that apparently had like 0.03% or some tiny little percent of the full cannabinoid in it? And I definitely felt that too. So I'm kind of a, I guess my point is I'm a lightweight when it comes to all this stuff. if I drink a glass of wine, I'm going to get tipsy, even though I'm a huge dude. And if I take one CBD, that's a full spectrum cannabinoid, I'm going to get high. That's pretty messed up. But yeah, that's how little of that kind of stuff that I do. Anyway, I got some good news. I got a couple of good news things. Let me get to first thing is I was extended an offer from a new employer. And I had a great talk with the CEO yesterday. We talked on the phone and I think I had a good talk with my family. And it looks like we're going to move forward with this opportunity. So I'm pretty psyched about that. It's going to change my schedule up a little bit because this is a not a remote position. So I'll be in an office for the majority of the day. So quite frankly, I'm not sure what that's going to do to when I do these podcasts. I'll probably end up doing them at night. So I wonder what that's going to be like when I'm totally friggin' fried out. My brain is dead. I wonder, you know, but actually it might cause me to have more, like the original idea for this podcast was I started it years and years ago when I used to work in the city of Buffalo. I was going to do it as like the daily commute is what I was going to call it. And because my drive into the city of Buffalo was like 40 minutes, I'm like, man, I got all this time in the car to do a podcast. I'll just do it the whole way in and the whole way out. I'm like, that'll be perfect. But now that I have this great setup and finding that doing that in your car is noisy as hell and it sounds like shit, like it's fine. Like you see a lot of these people doing like TikToks in their car, but they're not driving down the street most of the time. They're sitting in a parking lot probably or their driveway maybe somewhere. So yeah, I'm not going to do that. But it's too bad because this is a long ride too. This is another longer commute, so I could use that time wisely, but I can't very well take my SM7B to the, in the remote way and stick it in my car that, and have this giant microphone while I'm driving. That'd be hilarious and super dangerous. So I'm not going to do that, but, I don't think it'll interrupt the cadence here that I have going on and the schedule that I've been doing. Cause I really enjoy this and I think I need it. So it'll probably just be what I do to come home and decompress from. This is still like weeks out. I mean, I haven't really accepted yet. It's just been a verbal conversation. So Friday, I'm going to make a final decision. And then I'll have to give where I work a couple weeks notice. This is not going to start until probably, I would guess, potentially the second week of September. Because I think the 1st of September falls on like a Wednesday or something weird. So typically places want you to start like at the beginning of a pay cycle or something like that. So we'll figure that out. But it'll be a few weeks before that happens if I end up making that decision. You know, that being said, I probably will make that decision because, like I've said, I can't quite make it past. I'm just not able to get over this stuff at my current place. I mean, they're just douchebags, man, you know, and I just, even in addition to that, the fact that we're not a good match in terms of people and personalities and that, you know, I'm not really feeling that strong about what this place has going on because so many people have left. I mean, they're really getting down to the end of the line when it comes to engineering. When I leave, there's going to be one guy left that really knows what he's doing there. And he knows a lot. I mean, he's a Windows expert. This guy is very skilled. So it's not a negative thing. It's just there won't be anyone to do what I do because that guy already left. I was his backup. He was my backup, whatever it was. We were the two people that knew that stuff. And now they'll have no one. So, you know, in a sick and twisted way, I'm kind of, you know, it's like, aha, karma catching up with you bastards already. Because you fucked me, now I'm going to fuck you. And that's the way it goes. But a big part of me is they're such douchebags, they're not even going to care. So it's almost like this big fanfare for nothing. It's like, no, they're not going to give a shit. They'll just be like, oh, okay, when's your last day? Yep, whatever, see you later. And not that I can be bought to stay or want to stay no matter what. I mean, you know, they set the wheels in motion a month ago when they took my position away. And the way they did it and all the things that I've whined and bitched about in the last few episodes, you know, it is what it is at this point. And I hate that saying, but it's just the truth. I mean, they made their bed and now they have to lie in it. So, I can't be concerned about their well-being. They weren't concerned about mine. They took somebody that, like me, that would, you know, had the best of intentions and true and honest heart, and just threw it out the window, you know? And that's what I'm hoping this new place is not like that. And I do have a real opportunity, and I think that we're going to get along better. But again, I'm not a very good judge of character and people at first meeting. I've felt like this several times and I've been wrong. So, you know, but that leads me to something else. You know, I talk about that. I get lost in TikTok a lot, you know, on here, and I watch a lot of videos. I don't post very much because nobody gives a shit about any of my posts, and they're not anything that ever get on that For You page or go viral or do anything stupid. So, not stupid, meaningful. So it's not like anybody really follows me. I'm like, I don't know, 50, maybe 30, 50, some crazy small number. But what I've noticed is there's a lot of women on there that are really, and I don't know if this is just my feed because of my age, or I don't know how that whole like For You page works. Really like why I see these things, but man, I see a lot of people, a lot of women that are unable to find or just have stories to share about men that they meet that are just awful. I mean, it feels like our society is really screwed at this point. Like it's all about, you know, all their posts are, and you know, how do I know if they're telling the truth? But it just seems like there's a plethora of these women. There's so many of them out there that are just being lied to. It's like these are beautiful women. I mean, I'm looking at this like, how in the world could you possibly be single or looking or dating? I mean, it's like, these are not regular looking people, in my opinion. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily just my opinion. I think this is just general opinion. Like these are attractive people. These are not people that look like me, you know, like just, ugh, you know, these are just, you know, not even young, really. Some of these women are my age but my point is they're just absolutely unequivocally without question attractive people. Right. So anyone that would look at them would go, wow, yeah, you're really pretty. Holy cow. And I know that's not everything, but it's like, wow, where do you meet people that see that? And I mean, I don't know if it's just me and I'm pathetic, but I see a beautiful person and I just melt. I mean, you'd have to really be an asshole as a person if you look like one of these people and just to turn me down, like to make me turn away. It would be like, I don't know if it's just me, you know, and I'm rambling here a little bit, but I have this, like, I don't know, I guess I'm a face person. I don't know what that means, other than like, if I see a pretty face, like someone that I think is beautiful, it is really difficult for me not to keep looking. And all the rest is kind of ancillary or secondary, tertiary, that kind of thing. Like, yeah, if you have a fantastic body too, that's awesome. Good for you. But even if you do, I'm still all about the face. I mean, I don't know what it is, but like, I just feel like your eyes and your face are just so magical. I don't know. Just, I don't know. What am I even saying? It just blows my mind that women that I think are this attractive are just being treated like shit. And maybe they're lousy people. I don't, you know, who knows? You know, you can't tell that from a 30-second or a minute blurb on TikTok, but holy cow, I feel like it's crazy because it's like, you know, what the heck would somebody like me ever do if I got to go out there and find somebody? It's like, oh my God, good freaking luck. There's like all these gorgeous people out there that can't find anything but a bunch of shitheads. What in the hell am I going to find? You know, I mean, so maybe my situation isn't as bad as it seems. I mean, you know, realistically it is, because so much of what I see that these people say and want are the same things that I say that I want and I don't have. So that would be wonderful. But I mean, as pathetic as this sounds, I mean, at this point I would give almost anything just to be held and be loved and to be told that I was loved and just snuggled. I mean, it's yeah. All right. So this is the pathetic. Maybe I'll name this thing Snuggled. I want to be snuggled because it sounds so silly, but it's so true. I mean, it's such a reality that couldn't, you know, I just wish somebody would love me in that way. And it's just so brutal that I don't have that. Now, you know, you could say that that's inspirational to me, and it's a driving force in why I try so hard, because I feel like I'm trying to better myself so that I become this better looking thing to my wife, and she sees me in a different light. But, you know, I felt like I did the right thing yesterday. And, you know, this is me moving and switching jobs is not just about me, right? Because like I've said before, I'm the primary breadwinner in this family, you know, and I make a lot of money, right? I mean, I don't make chump change. So, you know, all of our health insurance, all of our benefits, the retirement, all that stuff comes from me. So I think, the right thing to do is to discuss these types of potential changes that I want to make in my life, because it affects everybody. You know, hey, I'm not going to be home all the time. I'm going to be at an office. Is everybody okay with that? Hey, you know, I'm going to switch careers again. Hey, we're going to have different insurance again. You know, all these things that I thought would be good to talk about with my whole family, especially because they're all older now, even my kids, you know, I just thought that was the right thing to do. And like the first thing out of my wife's mouth is like, why do you ask me? You're going to do whatever the hell you want anyway. I'm like, man, can't you for like ever take anything and look at it from a positive perspective? Or you're just going to complain because you have to drive into an office every day. Like that, you know, so counterproductive. It's like, why did I even bother? And this is what I mean by like, can't somebody just give me a hug and, hey, congratulations, you got an offer. You're going to get out of this shit scenario that you're in. Maybe that would have been a nice thing to say, or he sure as hell would have been a nice thing to hear, you know, and I'm getting a huge raise for this too. So it's not that I'm focused on the money, but it's not like I'm taking another job and I'm being paid less. I'm actually being paid a lot more again. So, you know, however the luck of the draw of this stuff works, I keep getting myself into these situations where I get paid more and more and more and more and more. And I have no idea how this happens, because like I've told you before, I don't have a college degree. You know, I've been a fuck up most of my life. So it's just amazing to me that I can get into these circumstances, even though I don't have any idea how this happens for me. It's kind of a conundrum, word of the day, to me in this regard. So I don't know. It's, you know, I guess I just have such a poor self-image because of the things that happen to me and the support that I don't get around me, that I just assume that everything bad is going to happen to me and nothing good could possibly happen. But, you know, one of the saddest things, and this is like a recurring theme in a lot of movies, is, you know, I don't have anyone to really celebrate this with. And that's really, I mean, I know that sounds pathetic and stupid and kind of petty, but the reality is I don't have someone that no one congratulated me. No one said, hey, good job, Dad. Hey, good job, Garrett. So proud of you. Nothing. I got all negative response. You're just going to complain about the drive in the winter because you hate leaving the house and you don't ever want to go anywhere. So you're going to hate this, and you're going to be around people. So you're going to hate this. And oh, how do you know this isn't going to be the same thing as where you're at now? I'm like, fuck, man, I don't know any of that. Do you? You know, if you have that kind of insight, if you have mediumship running through your body, let me know, because I would love to know for sure if this is the right decision or not. How would I know? I have to base it on the information that's been provided and then make an assessment and turn that into a judgment and then make a decision. I don't know. You know, I guess I wish that there was a little more positivity and a little more meaningful conversation around it rather than just all the things that I'm going to do maybe they're all true. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that I want to drive 40 minutes a day to an office, but that's part of the deal here. And, you know, again, this is a large salary. So financially speaking, it's inconsequential. It's just a matter of the time that will be required to possess a position like this. But if the job itself is as rewarding as I hope it could be, then it'll be worth it. Plus, you know, like I said, the money it doesn't matter. I mean, I just got a brand new car and it's electric. It's a hybrid. It's a half electric car. So most of my trip will not even require gas. So, you know, that part's, to me, kind of trivial. The only thing I'll have to worry about is the number of miles I'm putting on the car, because I think I only lease this for $10,000 a year, and I would bet I'll eclipse that. But I'll have to assess that as I go down the road here, and we'll see what happens. I really like this car a lot. I mean, it's definitely a possibility that I just buy the car at the end of the lease and keep it. Too, that could be a possibility, because there's a really good warranty on the battery, and the electric motor side of it is like 10 years, like 200,000 miles, some crazy number like that. So we'll see. But I mean, that's 3 years off. I'm not really worrying about that today. I'm going to drive my car however much I need to drive it. And if there is a cost at the end because I went over miles, then that's what it means. I feel like there's some way you can get more miles ahead of time too. I'm pretty sure, like, when I got my car toward my last lease, toward the end of it, it was like, hey, if you're over the mileage, you can purchase the mileage now and it's cheaper than at the end. So I'm pretty sure there's some wiggle room in there if that's the case, but we'll see. I'm not worrying about that right now. That said, yeah, man, I mean, I guess that's a good thing. I'm still kind of in that same house, man, where everything seems to be negative and everybody kind of gives me shit over things. Like, my son was pretty practical about it. You know, he's 21. He said, it's like, well, you know, you're not happy where you are now. And he's like, that place is going through a lot of changes and there's a lot of unknowns going on there. And he's like, so maybe it's best to get out now before it just flops on its face, or they just fire you. And, you know, I was joking to some degree the other day when I was like, yeah, let's see what happens if they fire me. Of course, I don't want to get terminated from any position. I mean, that's never a good thing. I was trying to turn that into a potential positive by speaking about it in that regard. But I don't want to be fired. That, you know, that never looks good on a resume. That's never happened to me before. It's always just been, I've been let go because of acquisitions. So great recommendations, you know, a severance package, all that stuff. That's a little bit different look than, oh yeah, I was, you know, involuntarily terminated. That's a different thing. It's like, you know, being dishonorably discharged from the military. It's not for a good reason. So that kind of tarnishes. I don't really want to tarnish my 20-year reputation and my resume by saying, yeah, my last job fired me. There's no good answer for why that happened. Doesn't matter how I explain it. It's still, you got fired. So I'd prefer for that not to happen. I was just kind of looking at that situation as like, if that happened, what would that look like? You know, would I be able to just make it through and see how long that might last? So, I mean, that's not something I want to happen, of course. And I can't imagine many people want that to happen. I feel so bad for healthcare workers and people that are being put in positions where if you don't get the vaccine, you don't get a job. You know, you can't come back to work. I'm even getting a little concerned about that with my daughters because, you know, they have not been vaccinated. And my wife and I are not ready to put them through the vaccine yet because they're 15 and 18. So, and they're women, and there's issues that have popped up around. My wife works in the healthcare field. So she works for a gynecologist office. So she's already seen and experienced some of the scenarios from the doctors that have come through the office with regard to people having miscarriages and problems with the reproductive system and stuff like that. So it's hard to debunk that and say that stuff isn't really happening and can be attributed to the vaccine as a side effect, because my wife is seeing it firsthand. So, you know, that's not some made up crap you see online. That's something that's real right in front of us in our lives. So we've decided that our two daughters should wait because they're young and healthy. But now we're seeing all this propaganda on the news about how, you know, 15 to 18 or 15 to 20 or whatever it is, they're all getting sick. And now these young kids are going to the hospital. And, you know, I don't want that to happen either. Man, I wish so badly, like I'm sure millions and millions of other people, if not everyone in this country, that we could just get the right information and find out, hey, what are the side effects? What are the risks? If you have these types of conditions, you probably shouldn't take the vaccine. I mean, I asked my providers, all of them, like, should I take this vaccine or not? Is this safe for me? You know, I have heart problems, liver problems, gastroenterological problems. I have a lot of issues, underlying condition. Am I supposed to be okay with the vaccine? Is this fine for me, or is this going to make something worse? And they all came back and said it was fine. So from three different points of view, I use that as my measuring stick to say, okay, it's probably okay for me particularly or personally to do this. But at the same time, that has nothing to do with the side effects. That was just them saying it was safe. But, you know, you can take that with a grain of salt, because I've asked them about taking ashwagandha and one will say yes and the other will say no. You know, so it's like, well, who are you supposed to believe? Which doctor knows better? Because I like to add, you know, I'm kind of ridiculous like that. And it's like, you know, speak to your doctor before starting any kind of, you know, treatments or therapies like this. So I do. I ask. I'm like, hey, with all the crap that I'm taking, and I've even talked to my pharmacist and asked them, I'm like, with all the shit that you see on my thing that I'm taking, you know, is there a conflict with any of this? Because that can be the issue too, is that just one of the medications that I'm taking would have some kind of, you know, negative interaction with something else. That's something I have to be aware of. I take several prescription medications, and I would want to make sure that whatever it is that I'm taking, if we're going to add something to my regimen here on the daily basis, that it's not a conflict or not going to have a conflict with something I'm already taking, like one of the heart medications or one of the head medications, you know, whatever else it is I'm taking, even when it comes to vitamins and supplements, because some of those things don't play nice together. They're fine on their own, but they intermix with something else and you get this other concoction and now it's bad for you. And it can work the other way around. That's why you see pepper in a lot of supplements, because I guess pepper does something by way of assisting in the absorption of whatever it is that you're trying to take. So like turmeric curcumin often has black pepper in it, because that helps with the absorption of the curcumin in the turmeric. Anyway. Wow, I'm really off on a tangent. The other nice, so I'll keep you posted on that job thing. You know, at this point, I feel as if I'm going to, you know, I'd be a fool not to take it. It's great money. So it seems like great people. I'd have full autonomy again, you know, and if it's a different circumstance that than the last 18, 19 months has been, the whole thing will be what I was looking for to begin with. So maybe it'll be a great scenario. So looking forward to that. I'll know more, you know, if I've done that by Friday is my commitment to them to give them an answer. And then we'll go from there, but I'll keep you posted. But anyway, also yesterday I got some good news, which was cool. I got, and I'm not sure if this will pan out or not, cause this has happened one other time where it was kind of weird, but, I got someone was interested in my first project that I did on ACX, the book narration thing from Amazon. The publisher reached out to me and said, hey, we like the sound of your voice. Would you be interested in reading this book? I'm like, yeah. And it worked out well and I got paid. And it was great. So someone else just did that and I responded to them. So I got a email last night saying, hey, Garrett, I've listened to your samples. It sounds great. I really like what you sound like. Would you be interested in doing a read for the book? So we could, and I'm like, absolutely. So I replied to that this morning too. So maybe I have a new book that I can narrate on the horizon with my awesome SM7B that I bought specifically for that purpose, that really plays the biggest role in the podcast now. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if that pans out as well. I think that would be pretty cool to see that go through and get another opportunity to read a book, because I've done like 25 or 30 auditions on ACX and every one of them has been turned down or the book was taken off the list of wanting an audio option. So I don't know what that means. I guess that means they didn't find what they were looking for in terms of someone reading the book, but I haven't had any luck at all in any auditions that I've done aside from one. And it was this huge, like, I don't know, 100,000 word book. It was like an eight to nine hour estimate. And then they only wanted to share the revenue, 50% of the revenue of the ebook sales. And I'm like, well, I'd rather just get paid by the hour, please. So I opted out of that one and I didn't accept it. But that's the only one I got from an audition. where I actively auditioned myself and submitted, and that was it. So I don't really get how this works, but hopefully this one will pan out and it'll turn into something and I'll get to do another book. That'll be pretty cool. And I hope it's kind of quick because, like I said, if I do take this other job, my time is going to be a little bit less flexible. I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, I could just do this stuff on the weekends. It's not that big of a deal. But it's nice to do some of these things in the mornings because there's nobody here right now. My wife's at work. Both my kids are still asleep and my one daughter's on vacation. So I have basically the whole studio to myself right now and it's quiet. It's not as important on the podcast if there's noise because this isn't like work for somebody else. This is work for me. So if a dog barks or a car drives by or something, it's not the end of the world. But when you're doing a book narration, the file will be kicked back to you if there's any noise. So you can't submit anything that has any ambient background noise, nothing like that. It's got to be really well done and it takes time and you have to, I'm not in an isolated room. So I'm just in my house. You know, this mic does a great job of filtering a lot of that out. But if I'm talking right now and a dog starts barking when I'm talking and they're both on the recording, I can't use that. I can use that on the podcast because who cares? I'm, listening to this and whomever else is listening to it, but it doesn't really, it's not the end of the world in that regard. But again, I can't submit files that have ambient noise in them. The algorithm will reject it. I went through that last time, but the nice thing is now I really do know what I'm doing and I have better equipment this time around. So it'll be a better experience for sure. So that's exciting. So hopefully that'll work out. I'll keep you posted on that as well. But, other than that, I feel pretty good today. So I'm going to celebrate that a little bit and just enjoy, I often find myself, complaining and bitching and whining about so many things, but the moments, even if they're brief in your life where you feel pretty good, you got to be aware of that stuff and definitely celebrate it and take advantage of it. After I'm done with this, I'm going to play some horn because I feel good. And, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you play a wind instrument, when you're blowing against resistance, which you get some kind of resistance on the horn when you blow into it, if you have a friggin' headache, you can't play. It hurts, like it makes it worse. Right. So I feel pretty good right now. So after I'm done here, I'm going to blast on my horn for a little while because you can't really do that when you feel like crap because it just makes it worse. So I'm feeling pretty good at the moment and I'm going to take full advantage of that. And I would offer that as a piece of advice to all of you, anyone listening, that, we all go through periods of our lives where things are difficult and this can be like literally microcosm to every day. Right. I mean, there's points in my day where I just, some days I just want to just jump out a window, it's that bad. So it's equally important that even though you recognize the negative things, you also have to recognize the positives and when things are going well and celebrate them and, relish in that fact whenever you can and as often as you can, because, life is kind of lived in between all of the shit that you deal with. Your real euphoria is in there somewhere each and every day. You just have to find it. And when you find it, you have to celebrate it and recognize it and take advantage of it. So the times, I feel crappy most of the time. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't feel awesome all the time these days. But if I never take advantage of the fact that when I do feel good, I take action and do things in those moments of time where I feel good, then I'm missing out, right? So I can either do one of two things. I can bitch and complain and not do anything when I feel good, or I can bitch and complain. Well, I mean, I guess three things. I could stop bitching and complaining, but that ain't going to happen. So the second thing would be, the reality would be, I could continue to bitch and complain when I feel like crap and things aren't going well, but recognize when things are going well, take a moment to acknowledge that, recognize it, do something in that time. Like today, I spent the majority of this time, talking about a job opportunity that, while there was negative things around the discussion with my family about it, generally speaking, that's a really positive thing. You know, somebody likes me. Somebody feels that I'm going to bring value to their organization. And it's not just anybody. It's the owner of the company, the CEO. So, you know, that's a great thing to celebrate, even if I have to celebrate it by myself. So, you know, you got to look at these things in stages, right? Like, yeah, it would be great. I was complaining about I have no one to celebrate this with, but at least I have myself. So, you know, at least I can take the time to celebrate this win. Even if I have to do it all by myself, I can say, hey, attaboy, Garrett, you did it. This is going to work out, you know, in the short term, minimally. Somebody liked you. Somebody sees something in you. All hope is not lost. You know, it's a good thing. Celebrate this. Feel good about yourself and, you know, enjoy this moment. So that's what I'm doing at this point. You know, and I can look, I guess, no further. Just look at yourself and find those things and those moments in your life each and every day where there's some opportunity for you to feel good about yourself and feel good about what you're doing and feel good about things that are, in fact, happening to you that are positive. Because, you know, as many times I've cited and many other people that have far more experience than I do with failure have mentioned, you fail the majority of the time in your life. You're failing more than you're succeeding. But if you don't, you know, reward yourself and relish the moments of success and really take stock in that and acknowledge that, then what was it all for to be, what was the point what was the point to begin with? Right? If you achieve these goals and then never celebrate their success, I mean, what was the point? So I think it's really important to, you know, even if they're little moments like this, I mean, this is what, a 30-minute, 40-minute thing, you know, and the majority of the time I'm trying to pump myself up and recognize that, hey, I did a good thing here and this is great and something did pan out, even though 5 or 6 other opportunities that I was entertaining have not, one did. I'm not going to focus on the other 4 or 5 that didn't and be like, oh, this sucks. This one didn't work out. You know, I was pretty miserable when that one didn't work out, but you got to move forward and move on from that. And now look, here I am sitting in a scenario where a different opportunity that I'm equally excited about has worked out. And now I have this opportunity in front of me. So it's worth, I guess you got to celebrate the small things, you know, even though they talk about, you know, don't sweat the small stuff because it's all small stuff. I think in there, what is missing in that little phrase is that there's great moments in that small stuff and you have to find them and you have to seek them out for real and then recognize them and then celebrate them openly as if they're these big wins, because guess what? They are. You know, I mean, you could say, well, you know, you've had 20 jobs. Yeah, I have, but I haven't had this one. You know, this one upcoming, and this is all new. This is a next opportunity. The next, maybe this is the one. You never know. It's like buying a lottery ticket. Yeah, you've lost 10,000 freaking times. You keep on playing though, because you never know. The next one might be the one. So, you know, there's always, I guess that's hope is what I'm describing there. You know, there's always hope, but you gotta find that stuff, man. It's just not going to come back, bash you on the head. The negative, for some reason, does. Like when things aren't going well, it seems to ring very loud and pronounced in your life, or at least in my life. But the things that are positive are oftentimes much more, you know, they're much more subdued. They're not as like, ta-da! You know, the bells are ringing and the fireworks are going off. It's not always like that for me. So I've had to learn how to find those opportunities where, hey, you know what? I don't have a headache right now. So I'm going to have a more positive, upbeat feel on things, and I'm going to get some things done that I'm going to feel good about doing because it's not painful and it's not laborious because I'm not having a friggin' migraine. Or I can just bitch that I always have migraines and it prevents me from doing the things that I want every single time I want to do it. I think we have to kind of give ourselves back a little bit to this, the theory of, or the thought or the practice of not being so damn selfish. Every minute of your life isn't going to be perfect and it's not going to be the dream come true. And yeah, you're going to encounter people you don't like, people that don't like you, situations that suck, circumstances that aren't in your favor. All that stuff happens every day. You can't deny it and you can't avoid it. It's not possible. You could sit in your house all day and bad shit can still happen. You know, I mean, perhaps not at the frequency if you were out doing stuff or putting yourself out there, but nevertheless, it's an unavoidable scenario about in terms of existence. It's just going to be there all the time. So how you deal with that stuff and how you choose to recognize these moments that are in your life that are really worth celebrating. And maybe I'll call this podcast the moments to celebrate or find those moments to celebrate or the moments worth celebrating. Maybe I like that, the moments worth celebrating. Sorry, I had to write that down because I'm so stupid, I'll forget it. Anyway, you know what would be pretty cool now would be is if the poem that I chose today or that was just next in line was actually positive because I'm having such a positive morning. The chances of that are slim to none because this book is filled with just... That should be a forewarning that I should give everyone. If you really end up buying this book, don't expect it to have anything positive in it. There might be a glimmer of a positive poem in here somewhere, but I would gather that 99.995% of these are going to suck and be negative and miserable because that's just where I was in that point in my life. Anyway, let's read a poem, shall we? Taken from Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy, available on Amazon, by Garrett M. Conklin. You know, I have not done the audio version of this. Like I said, I'm kind of doing it here, but I was considering doing an audio version of this my own book, but I haven't done that yet. I don't think I'll have the time, and nobody will really give a shit anyway. Anyway, this one is called Brick Wall. The wall has a curve not unlike a wave. The brick lay still in its uncovered grave. Forever in ruin, society slave, never undoing, stand tall and be brave. The edge was so ragged, the lines once straight, now jagged. The sky was alive with the soot that also lay heavily underfoot. What was once a life's work was now relegated to a wrecking ball quirk. Not trying to be an insensitive jerk, but a homeless shelter soon here will lurk. The door up on top, once open to your mind, once an escape from danger you may find, is now but a portal from one place to ground, which cannot be seen from either side nor be found. It once was so mighty, so strong, and so clean, not this disaster, this wreckage, this overwrought queen, as if to say something out loud would have made her uncrumble and somehow be proud. But today is the day when something new will be erected from this building that is clearly infected and rejected. It will die in the sky with a dust-filled cloud, so loud you will choke on the smoke and the diesel while it's plowed. Now lays a plain and perpetual refrain that once was unslain, now in total disdain. I cannot help but think of the feeling of the crane from hurling that ball, destroying it all, totally insane. Now, as I just read that, I feel like I already read that one. So, I'm not going to offer a dissertation on what that all meant because I feel like I probably should have listened to the last episode to see. I must have put my bookbinder or my placeholder in the wrong spot there. So let me read another one. I still have 12 minutes before this thing will clip off at the hour. So let me read another one just to be safe. This one's called Cannot Be Undone. And by the way, I really did like that one. I thought that was actually a pretty well-written poem, Brick Wall. And it's kind of about me and how I felt like I was crumbling and falling apart at that point in my life because of all the surgeries and I'm getting older and all that kind of malarkey. You like that word? Maybe that's the second word of the day, malarkey. Anyway, the next poem is called Cannot Be Undone. So you're getting two for one today. Cannot Be Undone. Garbled and warbled like one of those beautifully swirled marbles is the concoction of your life. As independent parts, all things are painstakingly clear. However, as we add to the mix, we become unable to unsmear. Or in here, for that matter, it's the undoing of matter that is so hard. We think it all can be forgiven, but all we ever do is the reliving. Combination is the simplest aspect. Separation is the intrinsic derelict. As once it is done, although it appears fun, often you have lost what we originally won. It never seems to unravel, but try and separate different kinds of gravel, and you'll instantly know how impossible it is to uncream and sugar your mug of joe. It swirls with absolute beauty, and the combination becomes clear, but after about an hour, it's something pure like nudity, though you are more than far away from what was once very near. Take care what you end up combining, as sometimes there is no more refining. The end result of the solution often expresses itself as a toxic pollution. We see the smoke every day. We simply choose to hold it at bay, to look the other way. Though one day we will have to deal with it, and not particularly being fond of having to share a meal with it. Injecting what we make may go down like birthday cake, but take what it's made of one by one, as there is no way to swallow what regrettably cannot be undone. Well, that's an interesting one. Maybe I'll put my bookmark in the next one so I know that I'm reading Casual Pain next. Okay, so yeah, that was kind of obscure, actually. I'm not entirely sure where I was going with that, but I'll leave these poems to you guys to figure out if they mean anything to you. And when I go back and listen to this stuff, I'll figure out if it meant anything to me after I hear it again. All right, so with that, I've had a pretty good morning. I appreciate you here listening, following, supporting, whatever it is you're doing. And I hope something that I've said today, as always, helps you in your pursuits of life and happiness. With that, I'll take my goodbye. See ya.